Amen. It's lovely to be with you this morning, and welcome and hello to all of you who are watching online right now as well. We know that it's important that you're here, and I hope that wherever you are this morning, whether you're on your couch, in your kitchen, wherever you may be, that you might sense God's presence and God speaking to you this morning. And as we're here this morning on this anniversary Sunday in Hamilton Road, what a great Sunday it is to be here. And already in our videos this morning, we've seen a little look back at the very unusual year that we've all faced. And as well as that, a little look forward to the new day that's coming here in your church with all your wonderful redevelopment work. And anniversaries, I think, are a time not so much for looking back too much, but actually for looking forward. And I think every time a married couple celebrate an anniversary, they can thank God for his goodness to them for that arrival of that day, but also they want to be looking forward to what lies ahead in the future. And as all of us look forward into 2021, and all of us think about what this new year has for us, I want you to think about opportunity rather than difficulty. Your opportunities as we come out of this pandemic, as we will eventually, and as we get back to some degree of normality, there are going to be great opportunities for all of us, especially those of us who are followers of Jesus, to be able to share this good news in a bad news world. Sometimes at this time of the year, you know, it can get really busy. And I have two little phrases which I use with people. So sometimes when you're sitting, you know, you're in a queue for your shopping at Tesco's, or things are pretty busy, as they tend to be coming up towards Christmas, I'll sometimes say to the person behind the checkout desk, it's a long way from the stable in Bethlehem. And they just go, oh, what a weird thing that was to say. And then they just pass me through. But maybe when they go to bed that night, they put their head in a pillow and they're thinking back on their day, they might remember that it's a long way from the stable in Bethlehem. And sometimes the second phrase which I often use, which gets people thinking, is when they say to me, what do you do? Remember once somebody asked me out on a Saturday night, they said, day off tomorrow? I said, no, I'm busy tomorrow, Sunday. And they went, what do you do? And sometimes I've discovered, if I say I'm a pastor of a church, that's a conversation stopper. That's the end of it. So this is what I sometimes say to people. I tell good news stories in a bad news world. And very often people cannot resist asking a little bit more about that, which then gives an opportunity to share the gospel. And so as we come out of the pandemic, and as you are building in this new era for Hamilton Road Baptist Church, I want you to think of opportunities, not difficulties. God is always doing new things. In fact, the word new is used 150 times in the Bible. And so it's a new day, it's a new opportunity, and we don't want to allow ourselves, even on an anniversary Sunday, just to pat ourselves on the back, but we want to be looking forward to the opportunities that come our way, because we are good news people. We have got good news for a bad news world. And that's why I want you to dive into the Bible with me this morning, into that passage that Esther read for us just a few moments ago, in Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 to 4. So if you've got a Bible or you've got a phone or a device, or you just want to check it with me as we go through, I'd love you just to stick on the text. Colossians is a very short book in your Bible. It's only got four chapters. But it was written into a confused culture. And the Apostle Paul wanted to bring some truth into a culture which was really, really confused. Now, I think you would agree that our culture is a very confused culture. In fact, just this week, I sat with a young man who was completely confused on almost everything you could think about, and had just been so overwhelmed by listening to so many different voices that he simply seemed to have lost his way and even didn't quite know what was right, what was wrong, what was true, what was false. And yet that's typical of our culture. And the church in Colossae was set in a culture that was very confused. People did not know what was right or what was wrong. And so in the early chapters of Colossae, Paul reminds the church of what's true. He reminds the church of the supremacy of the Lord Jesus Christ above all things. Their particular challenge was the challenge of Gnosticism, this idea that there was some sort of inner secret that you needed to know. And Paul wanted them to know that the Lord Jesus Christ was the supreme one to whom they owed everything. But when you go into chapter 3, the Apostle Paul begins to turn them to think about themselves, how they respond in the light of that. And here's a lesson for us from that, and that is if we're going to grow, we have to move from head stuff to heart stuff. Yes, the Apostle Paul wanted them to know in their heads what was true, but he wanted them to live in certain ways in the light of that. You see, we can't just declare the truth or defend the truth. We need to demonstrate the truth. Isn't that right? So many people are really great at declaring the truth propositionally. That's fine. Other people are strident about defending the truth against all kinds of opposition, and we need to do that. But here's what we need to do more than anything else. We need to demonstrate the truth. If we believe that Jesus Christ is supreme, then in our lives and in our behavior, we need to demonstrate the reality of that in our culture and in our world. And so my challenge to you in Hamilton Road Baptist Church this morning is, as you move into this new year, in a few months' time, God willing, you'll be able to see the renovations complete. I want you to remember that that's not just about bricks and mortar. That's not just about making you comfortable. That's an opportunity for you as a church to demonstrate the truth of the gospel into this confused culture. You see, the reality is that your inside lives in heaven, but your outside lives here. See, when you become a Christian, a follower of Jesus, you are transformed. And the Bible says that you're raised up with Christ into heavenly places. The whole focus of your life changes. And so internally, spiritually, you are living in heaven, but your outside lives here. I don't know if you've ever heard the little phrase. It's a bit of a jag, isn't it? He's so heavenly minded, he's of no earthly use. You've probably heard that. The truth is that very few people are so heavenly minded that they're of no earthly use. And the reality is actually that if you want to be of earthly use here, you've got to be heavenly minded. You've got to think heaven if you're going to be of any use to anybody here on earth. And so the Apostle Paul tells them how important it is that they practice what they believe. A commentator once said this, in paganism, a worshiper could bow before an idol, put his offering on the altar, and go back to the same old life of sin. What a person believed had no direct relationship with how he behaved. But that's not how it is to be for us as believers. We're not pagans. We're followers of Jesus. So therefore, what we believe is to directly affect how we behave. There is no separation between belief and behavior in the New Testament. And so when we come to Colossians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul, as he often does in his letters, starts to apply what he's been saying. If Jesus Christ is supreme, if he is majestic, if he's above all things, then there are certain ways in which we should live. And that's why he says here in verse 1, set your hearts on things which are above. You see, the Apostle Paul here in verse 1 says, since you have been raised with Christ. That's a sentence construction that he uses frequently. In other words, this is true, so therefore, do this. This is reality, therefore, behave like this. And he says, set your hearts. The heart is a seat of your being, not on earthly things, but on the things that are above. The word he uses here is a word which kind of means seek. It means strive to obtain this. Go after things above. Our problem, my problem is that we're often dragged into the things of this earth. Money, jobs, career, family, health. Those are the things which make up our everyday lives. Of course, they're very natural. But we've got to deliberately and consciously work through that so that our hearts are not bound up there, but our hearts are actually set on the things which are above. So let me ask this question. Where's your heart today? What is your heart really like? What's going on in the deepest inner recesses of your life? Perhaps you're watching this morning and you're burdened by so many things, so many challenges, so many ways in which you feel shame for past actions or regret, or you feel it, you've failed. And maybe you've tuned into this church service this morning, and to be honest, your heart is very far away from God. Well, the Lord is calling you to himself. He loves you with an everlasting love. Jesus died as the supreme Savior, the only Savior, who bore the punishment for our sins. And he's calling you to follow him and to put your heart right before him. And the Apostle Paul says to these Christians, these followers of Jesus, intentionally, consciously, deliberately set your heart on things above. You'll see here a little bit further down the chapter as he kind of expands that. He talks about how the peace of Christ will fill your heart and life. And he asks it in verse 16 to let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. It's almost like he's beginning to unpack for them how they can do this, how they can set their hearts on things above by experiencing the peace of Christ, knowing that when they do that, that's how they will have peace. And allowing the word of God into their lives to shape them and mold them and make them. I wonder, do you let the word of Christ dwell in you richly to influence and to change your heart? You see, we're open and subject to so many voices these days. At the click of a phone, we can have any amount of voices from all over the world. Some of them are okay. Some of them are very dangerous. But we allow all these voices to speak to us, and consciously or unconsciously, those voices are shaping our hearts. They're shaping our real gut reactions to everyday living. And yet the Lord says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. So be a daily Bible reader. I'm astonished at the number of Christians who have basically abandoned the Bible. They don't read the Bible. They don't read it for themselves. They allowed maybe the pastor to teach a few verses on a Sunday morning to them, and that's it. But if we're going to set our hearts on things above, we need to be personally rediscovering as we go into the new year the Word of God for ourselves, to read it, to write it down, to learn it, to embrace it, to let it shape our hearts and to set our hearts in the right direction. Very quickly, you'll see that the wisdom of Solomon in Proverbs chapter 4, 23. I love this. Above all else, says Solomon, guard your heart. For everything you do flows from it. That's why the psalmist prayed in Psalm 139, search me, O God, and know what? Know my heart. Know what I'm really like, Lord. And so the Apostle Paul says, you, me, 21st century Christians, here's the command, set your hearts on things above. Notice though, he goes on in verse 2 to say, set your minds on things above. So if the heart is the seat of your being, the mind is how you think. And how you think is hugely important, not only psychologically, but biblical psychology, which is so powerful, reminds us that our minds are so important. He uses a particular word here, which means keep on thinking the things above. In other words, think heaven. Now, I need to hear this word because I don't think heaven very often. I think earth. I think stuff. I think materialism. I think finances. I think job. I think career. I think health. I think earth. And Paul says, but if Christ is supreme and Christ is majestic and you've been raised with Christ, set your minds on things above. It's said that you can tell what you love the most by what you think about the most. There are some people I know, and they think about food all day. So as soon as the breakfast is over, they're thinking about their coffee break and whether they're going to have an apple and cinnamon scone or a raspberry and white chocolate scone. As soon as that's over, they're thinking about lunch and they're thinking about dinner and they think about food. Do you know the point I'm making? So you can tell what you love the most by what you think about the most. I wonder, do you think about Christ as much as you think about your favorite football team? I wonder, do you think about Christ as much as you think about your job? Or your next pay rise, or your promotion. Because you know, when you set your heart and your minds on things above, it changes the way you think and the way you live. And it does particularly change your attitude towards money. Because the Lord Jesus, in his teaching, often linked eternity with money. And sometimes money can hold us back from the things of God. In fact, scripture says it's the love of money which is the root of all kinds of evil. And so when you're setting your minds on things above, you see your bank account not as yours, but as his. So it's not a chore or a difficulty or an obligation to give. It's actually a privilege and a joy and a delight to give, even to your redevelopment project when your mind is set on things above. Do you see how this is important for us on an anniversary Sunday and on any other Sunday? You will see quickly here how the Apostle Paul uses five massive statements in the context here of setting our hearts and minds on things above. It's almost like he's saying, I want to tell you, Christians, this is why you need to do these things, because we died. Whenever we became Christians, followers of Jesus, the old is gone and the new is come. And I want to say to any this morning who are not yet followers of Jesus, becoming a Christian is not just adding a little bit of religion to your life. It is being born again. The old has gone, the new has come. For me, I became a Christian at 17. Did not grow up in an evangelical Christian family. Did not know that I needed to be born again. Until over the course of a whole summer between my lower sixth year and my upper sixth year, I heard this message on several occasions. And it was just at the start of September of my upper sixth year in the back seat of a friend's car when I came to Christ. And I didn't know that at the time, but the Bible says that in that moment, the old man was gone and the new was come. We died. Paul goes on to say these other four massive statements. Our life is hidden with Christ. That's why we need to set our minds and hearts on things above, because that's where our life is. Christ is our life. You know the way sometimes you define people by what's their life? His job is his life. He lives for his work. He lives for sport. He lives to make money. Well, Paul says Christ is our life. He's our hope in life and death. And he's coming back again. Look at that in verse 4. So Paul takes these Colossians and he wants to remind them that one day Jesus will come back again. And in a way, what he wants them to do is to reverse engineer their lives. So they look forward to the fact that Jesus is coming back again. And then they go, how are we supposed to live in the light of the fact that Jesus is coming back again? This is how you're supposed to live, says Paul. Your heart should be above and your mind should be above, not on earthly things. Yes, we are. We have to attend to earthly things. We have to pay our bills and we have to go to work, all those things. But that's not what's to dominate our hearts and our minds. We're to live for Christ because we will appear with him in glory. Every one of those five statements that Paul makes in Colossians chapter 3, we could spend a long time on. Each one of those is a sermon or more in itself. And understanding what Paul is saying about the position of the Christian, which then should lead to the perception of the Christian. I love this little quote here. This is a story about a rather wealthy lady whose husband died, and she rather bizarrely and macabrely, decided to keep him embalmed in her home in a glass box. That was fine until she met another man and they were going to move forward in the relationship. And when the man came to her house and saw that she still had her old husband living in the house, embalmed in a glass box, he said, if we're going to move forward in our relationship, the old man will have to go. Now, if we're going to move forward in our relationship with Jesus Christ, we have to start thinking differently about our lives. That's what the Apostle Paul is saying. Here's three quick takeaways for you. If we have to set our minds on things above and our hearts on things above, then Christianity is not meetings, it's lifestyle. I think we need to shout that louder. Particularly in Northern Ireland, where often we have reduced the gospel to going to meetings and assessing how people are doing by the number of meetings they go to. Now, meetings are important. It's important that you come and support the fellowship. It's important that you gather together for prayer, because this is not legalism. This is teaching from Scripture. But effectively, it's when you walk out these doors, how you live, that's your Christian life. Change is not passive, it's active. See, the Apostle Paul says, set, do this. It's a command. There's something you need to do about it in order to change. And growth is not automatic. It's a choice. You have a choice whether to do this or not. And if we want to grow as people, we want to grow as a church, as we come out of this pandemic, then we've got a choice to make. And the first choice we have to make is, who are we going to serve? And for some of you today, maybe today, the 13th of December, 2020, might be the day when you just ask the Lord to forgive your sins and choose to follow him. Let me just draw this to close by using this very simple illustration. For centuries, people believed this model of the universe, it was called the Ptolemy, if that's the right way of pronouncing it, or the geocentric model of the universe. In other words, for centuries, people thought that the earth stayed static and the planets and the sun moved around the earth. Now, you can understand why people think that, don't you? Because when you see the sun rise, it rises in the east and it seems to move across the sky and sets in the west. We seem to stay still, the sun seems to move. But it was Copernicus in 1543, who discovered the truth. That's not geocentric, it's what they call a heliocentric method or model of the universe. It is the sun which stays static, and the earth and the planets move around the sun. As you probably know, Copernicus was persecuted for teaching that the scientific discovery. And you might think, what's that got to do with my life? Well, you see, the truth is, most of us think our life revolves around us. And people are around us to make us happy and to keep us content. And church is about me. And church is about my opinions. And church is about doing what I want my church to do for me. I am the earth and everyone's got to walk around me. Actually, the truth is, we're to be centered around the sun, not S-U-N, but the Son of the living God. And set our hearts and our minds on things above. So remember this, life is not about you. Ultimately, it's about him. One day the pandemic will come to an end. One day normality will resume. One day you will find that you will be able to get back to some degree of normal life. But here's the challenge of Scripture to you in Hamilton Road this morning and to those of you watching online. The challenge is to constantly set your minds on things above and to set your hearts on things above and to live in 2021, not for you, but for him and for his glory. Isn't that why further down the chapter, Paul says, whatever you do, in word or deed, do it all for the glory of God. So God's word to me this morning, challenging me, is set your hearts on things above. Set your minds on things above. live in the light of eternity and the fact that Jesus Christ is coming again. Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, that your word is powerful, it's challenging, it's relevant, it's instructive. In many ways, Lord, we would rather not listen to it, because when we listen to Scripture, it seems to press in upon us in a way that makes us uncomfortable. And yet, Lord, that's the way it should be, because you want us to be uncomfortably unsettled by Scripture and by truth. Lord, it is so easy and so natural for all of us, particularly in this time, to become focused on earthly things. And yet, didn't the Lord Jesus say, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you"? Doesn't Paul say here, "Set your hearts on things above"? Didn't Solomon say, "Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it"? Didn't Paul say, "Set your minds on things above"? Think heaven, think eternity, and therefore live your life here in the light of that. And so, Lord, we bless your name for all that you mean to us, and pray you'll continue with us, Lord, in the minutes that remain in this lovely time that we're having together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.